Vault.
Yeah,
Film Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Film Vault. It's Anderson, Brian Bishop. We're your hosts.
Yep.
For this week, top five actors who could play your co-host. Well, you phrase this somewhat differently coming in here. Top actors you'd like to
top
see.
Top five actors you'd like to see.
Play your co-host.
Play your co-host. Yeah, that works.
Okay.
This is a throwaway episode, but I think it's going to be very fun.
I disagree. A lot of thought went into this.
Oh, really? Huh? A lot of thought on your part.
I have pictures.
It's about time.
I have pictures.
No, you don't. Come on.
I do.
Settle down with the pictures. You don't need pictures.
I'm going to show you.
There's a couple actors. Let me say this right off the bat. There's a couple actors that I was thinking of, and then I looked them up, and I felt so bad for them that I was picking them for the wrong reason that I took them off the list. I'm like, that's not fair to that actor. It's not his fault that his face looks like that.
Yeah, he has a matinee Hollywood looks. He's a leading man, but not like in the classic Hollywood sense.
This is going to be fun.
I agree.
I'm excited about it. It's rare that I'm as excited about a topic as I am about this one. Now, this is very after disaster-like of us to be talking about the show. We're going to be talking about each other, which feels a little self-congratulatory.
Please forgive us our self-indulgence.
Yeah, there you go. The self-indulgence.
Self-indulgence.
Although, mindless self-indulgence.
If we were to give...
not mindless.
Not mindless at all.
Well, I just said that because I like the band, Mindless Self-Indulgence.
Oh, is that a band?
It's a great band, yes.
Is that a punk band? Mm-hmm. Is it? I'm asking you.
It's like digital punk rock.
Okay. Yeah. Truth be told, full disclosure, we're recording 4 episodes in just 2 weeks because Anderson is jaunting off to Europe.
Jet setting.
Wow.
Going out to become a more cultured band.
First time?
I've never been over to Europe. Yeah, I've never. You know, I've been to the islands. Been to Fiji for the whole honeymoon there. I've been down to Mexico a number of times. Deep Mexico a couple times.
Deep dark.
And
Mexico.
All over Canada, all over this great nation, America.
Like in the tunnels of Sicario.
But I've always missed Europe. One of the reasons was because I didn't want. I didn't want to get a passport because that makes me feel like I'm more on the grid, which I know is absurd.
It's kind of absurd.
But I finally broke down once I got married and got a fucking passport. And then now I'm free to move about the world.
Your wallet is full of credit cards and
I don't know what I'll talk about. I saw my bank statement today and it's just depressing.
Stop.
I feel like I'm back in college.
This whole Europe?
I've spent everything. Mm-hmm. I have. And I just kept saying, well, I got to make the wife happy. You know? I'm only going to, who knows when I'm going to be over there next.
True. And not to be all fucking highfalutin philosophical about it, but hey, I'm going to wax.
Please don't.
I'm not going to, but seriously, travel and experience are two things that you should spend your most money on.
I shouldn't admit this, but a lot of the time when I was making accommodations and making the choices and whatnot, it was while I was also editing my films.
Okay.
And I learned a while ago that I have to have a couple in me to be a decent editor, otherwise I get too OCD. If I'm a little more loose, then I'll be okay.
You little thing, go here or there.
And then I would like take a break, wait for something to render, and I'd like book a flight tonight or book a train.
Book a hotel
and
room. Or...
When you got a couple in you, you're like, eh, what a room.
I deserve it.
Yeah, I'm going to get a nicer seat on this train for the wife and I.
Good.
So like, you know, a couple extra bucks here and there, but it all adds up because there's so much travel.
You will not regret it.
I'm going to have stories. I'll have stories. Oh, I'm
looking forward to
see stuff.
You mentioned the H.R. Geiger Museum last time.
Oh, that's important to me.
Or the restaurant or museum? Or
museum bar.
Okay, so it's
Gruyère's, okay, Switzerland. Oh, home of the Gruyère's cheese. World famous.
Will your wife be doing anything that she likes to do?
No.
No.
No, this is all about me.
Okay.
Of course, yeah. Everywhere we're going, for the most part, is like her choice, except for Gruyère's. She's into it, though. All right, here we go. Let's. We're not talking about my trip here. We're talking about... Flick Fashion.
Yeah, Flick Fashions. We're going to confess the flex.
I might go to a movie theater in Paris.
You absolutely should.
Queen size beds. That's your seat.
Really?
A queen size bed with pillows and blankets.
And would you see a French film or American film?
I don't know. I'll figure it out when I get there.
Film. You got to go full pretentious over there. Mm-hmm. If you can find like an art house, like a revival thing.
I don't think I'm going to see a French film because I doubt they'll have subtitles. And that'll be very...
Yeah, but it's about the experience.
Jean-Luc Godard. I'm not going to sit there and try and figure out what's happening by facial expressions and timbres and tones.
It's all impressionism anyway.
Let's go.
Flick Fashions. Saw 3 films. And Flick Fashions this week for me, biographical movies. Movies about geniuses. Movies starring Paul Dano. Movies about mental illness.
Ooh.
Miscast stars.
How many Flick Fashions are you doing?
3, the traditional 3, but there's a lot of crossover with themes.
I'm doing mine best to worst. I mean, worst to best. So let's do this.
Worst to best. How do I start?
Why don't you just do it, however, and hop on here with me?
Okay.
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. I'll start first with
Steve Jobs. All right, let's do it.
Steve Jobs is in theaters now. It is directed by Danny Boyle. It is written by Aaron Sorkin. It stars Michael Fassbender as Steve Jobs, Kate Winslet, who I did not know was Kate Winslet until after the film.
No, not after the film.
For sure, after. I did not realize.
I'm like, it's Rose. Like, about All right, she's in the opening sequence, which is great. The opening scene is very great.
And, starts off on a solid foot.
I was distracted because I don't read much, especially when they first come out. This movie just came out, like limited release this week. So plus I was banning it and I was forced to go see it. So angrily I was ignoring it.
At a theater you didn't want to go to.
But I'm like, who is that Eastern Bloc woman? I know her so well. And then it took like 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, it's Rose. But I was a little distracted by what by was accent. A very powerful opening.
Seth Rogen, Jeff Daniels. This is Phil Rosenthal described it as a play. It is.
Who is Phil Rosenthal? Don't suggest that his name is Household.
You're right. I'm sorry. Phil Rosenthal is the creator of Everyone Loves Raymond and the maker of Exporting Raymond, the documentary we've talked about before. He saw it and said it should have been a play, or it is a play, and I agree. This is a play.
That would be an interesting play because the entire thing takes place backstage at three separate Macintosh / Apple
launch events.
Yes, and it would have been kind of cool to see like the backstage of a stage.
Yeah, there are probably 12 locations, and that's an ambitious guess. Would you say?
Yeah,
I don't mean like this room, that room. I mean like. Like buildings,
and
places,
in that sense, it felt
settings.
A lot like Birdman. It reminded me quite a bit of Birdman.
It was not as good as Birdman.
The dialogue is punchy, and it's Aaron Sorkin. It's what you'd expect. It's two or three conversations happening at once, which I like. I'm ADD enough that I can keep up, and I enjoy it.
Oh yeah, keeping up wasn't a problem, but you call it punchy. I found it to be a verbal masturbation.
No, some of it was really good.
Some of it was really good. Some of it was a bit.
However, when it's a bio piece and it's obviously Aaron Sorkin's words, I'm like, all right, that was a great little retort there. But did that really happen?
Probably never.
Never happened. No.
This is highly. Okay, I almost said highly stylized. It's not. This movie has almost zero style to it.
I kept waiting for Danny Boyle to rear his head. He did. There in the middle, there is like some fast
motion boardroom
stuff.
The boardroom scene where it's raining and it's a fantastic shot. That was the only shot where I was like, that's fantastic.
There's a lot of great editing in this one as well, where they're going through different timelines and cutting back and forth. But the use of the text on the screen and projection on walls and stuff was very inventive, and I appreciated that. I liked that a lot. The design of the movie almost felt like it was to appease Steve Jobs, like it was design and function, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a beautiful, like his devices were these beautiful devices you wanted to hold.
Right, yeah, like were they doing it
to appease
his soul?
He was obsessed with making it. The movie has a recurring theme of him wanting to make his devices, it has to look this way, it has to function this
way. One little subtle thing that I noticed, I don't know if it was a mistake and they left it in or they did it on purpose, but he calls his daughter is Lisa. Many people know the Steve Jobs story at this point. He named one of his computers early on Lisa. Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to be, an ode to her, even though he denies it in the film. And then, but he's having a conversation with his daughter, and he calls her Joanne. And I'm like, I remember it threw me for a loop. I'm like, why did he just call his daughter Joanne? Joanne's the name of his assistant, played by Kate Winslet. And he calls his daughter Joanne, and like no one misses a beat. They just keep going. It was very odd. Joanne wasn't even in the room. It was very strange. But all the reasons that I banned this movie were there. But all the reasons that I had misgivings about banning this movie were also there.
Guarded hope.
Michael Fassbender, fantastic. I do forget that he's Fassbender.
Really?
Sure.
You did? Okay, yeah. I read this issue. Here's what I have written down. As much as I love Fassbender, I literally never forgot I was watching Michael Fassbender opposed to getting lost in the performance or the character. Dare I say it?
Why are you reading verbatim? It's so gross.
Ashton Kutcher was a better Steve Jobs.
No, what? Absolutely. He's a Muppet!
I do not think much of Ashton Kutcher as an actor, and that movie was terrible. Michael Fassbender wasn't
good. He acted his ass off.
He did. He tried.
They both did.
He swung for the fences.
Neither one of them, I don't think, was the right jobs. And
I agree with that.
Can we be done with this mean nerd? Can we please move on to other people?
We've already spent too much time on him.
Way too much time on the mean nerd.
Let's talk about him some more, though. Mm-hmm. This is a character study. There's no plot.
Well directed, well edited. I can see this being up for best editing.
You think it was well directed?
Yeah, I don't think that Danny Boyle really reared his head too much and did too many. Like I kept.
I wanted more Danny Boyle.
No, I wanted less.
Oh.
Like I kept waiting for that horrible. You know, remember the in the beach, that horrible
video game sequence.
Video game
is fantastic.
Sequence? Yeah, that's Danny Boyle, that's like great. Rearing his head, and going, "Look, it's me, guys. I'm directing this. See this wackiness?
Yeah,
it's me." I didn't want that.
Moments of absurd melodrama, like everybody has to have their life changing conversation with him right before his launch, and in the background of every earnest, heartfelt soliloquy and monologue, there's someone yelling, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, people,
right.
Five."
And then he's just all calm and
he's
cool,
like, he's just
collected.
And then the conversation takes 12 minutes.
So I don't know if this movie needed to be made. I'm tired of the mean nerd. It was a redemption love letter to dead jobs, as far as I could tell.
The more I think about it, the less I like it.
It leaves you empty when you walk out.
It really does.
But it is a well-made, it's a well-crafted movie. Boyle did some really good things here with text, with editing.
It's interesting. I feel like I'm the one who usually defends Danny Boyle. And right here, I'm just disappointed.
Because less is more.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because less is more. For some directors who throw their style into the movie, like Quentin Tarantino, for example, less Tarantino would be worse. And I think less Danny Boyle is worse.
Wrong.
Less Tarantino. Wrong. You know what less Tarantino wrong. Would look like? Less what? Samuel L. Jackson. Less long soliloquies. God, my tongue gets...
Soliloquies.
So,
you know what? I just rewatched Reservoir Dogs. Mm. I don't recommend people do that.
Why?
It was. I hadn't seen it in maybe 10, 12 years.
Don't say anything blasphemous. Come on, let's just move on.
I still love the movie.
Stop it. It holds up just fine, kids. Don't listen.
Oh, no.
Don't listen to my
fool.
The
one thing I can't say about it is that it holds up as well.
Oh, it holds up fine. I just saw it a couple of years ago. Enjoyable.
Tim Roth's accent is a fucking mess.
Would you stop with the accent? You get hung up on the most ridiculous little things.
She fucking killed me, man. She killed me. Larry, help me, Larry. I'm trying to watch The Lost Boys.
What else you see there, bud?
Oh, we're doing another film? Yeah. I saw a movie about another genius. Mm. Torture genius.
Yeah.
You flickfest this 6 months ago? Love and Mercy.
Oh.
Love and Mercy.
Finally.
Finally saw Love and Mercy, directed by Bill Pohlad. Bill
First
is
film
the... Is,
in- 20 years or so.
As far as I could tell, well, I only found some notable producing credits for him. He produced Brokeback Mountain. He may have. He produced Brokeback Mountain. He produced Into the Wild, Food Inc., The Tree of Life, 12 Years a Slave, Wild. He left off the Into the...
No one cares about producer credits, Brian. Please
move
on. Well,
this is a substantial career producing film starring Paul Dano as young Brian Wilson, John Cusack as old Brian Wilson, Elizabeth Banks, Paul Giamatti. Someday, Anderson, write this down, Logan. Someday we gotta top five good movies with fatal flaws.
Bill Pohlad directed a film called Old Explorers, 1990.
Oh, so he did. The notable.
That was very tough to look up and find that for your research.
I didn't think it was worth mentioning.
It took a long time for me to figure it out.
Turns out I was right.
No, it's really interesting that he hasn't directed a movie in 24 years. That's very interesting.
He's a film producer.
But he liked this one enough. This one was personal enough. He was passionate enough about this project. He didn't want to just sit along and let other people make the decisions. He actually directed it.
I agree. I don't see how the fact that he directed a film in 1990 impacts that, what you just said, in any way.
Well, it's been 24 years since he's directed. He's only made two films with a 22-year hiatus. That's very rare, Brian. That's why.
How about it? Okay.
That's very rare.
I agree.
Yes.
You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Someday, Anderson, we've got to do a list. Top five good movies with a fatal flaw.
Okay.
And this will be on my list. Okay. This is a good movie. John Cusack attempts to drown this movie.
I told you, man. I felt bad for the kid because he was acting his balls off. But
he's doing his best.
He can't not be John Cusack. It was just wrong casting. It was bad casting.
Bad casting. I wrote down.
But
I enjoy Brian. I enjoy John Cusack. Mm-hmm. I could not look at him and ever imagine that he's number one. Brian Wilson. But number two, not John Cusack.
Yeah, he's incapable of becoming un-John Cusack when he played.
And he's good as John Cusack.
When he played Richard Nixon in The Butler, it was laughable.
A lot of things in The Butler were laughable.
But you know what? This might make Paul Dano look even better. You know what I mean?
Paul Dano was fantastic.
He's got to be up for Best Supporting, right?
Yep. I hope so. I mean, who knows how the strength of the category is, but he was great. Every time I saw him, why couldn't he be old Brian Wilson? Just put on a couple pounds, be fat Brian Wilson.
Yeah, he could have done that.
They absolutely could have done it. Throw a wig on him.
Who knows how these things happen? These back alley at deals and fat rich men with their jowls saying, take a studio's money as long as you
that's
take
funny.
Cusack with it.
I don't feel, I think what you're describing is the archetype of the studio head. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like this is a studio picture or a big budget movie.
I don't think it is.
I feel the problem actually is ironically the other way, which is they probably had a very hard time getting financing for a film starring Paul Dano. This is a 2012 movie. He still isn't really a household name.
No, yeah.
And probably needed John Cusack to get the funding.
Perhaps. Let's not speculate on what's probably been reported on in Variety numerous times.
That said.
Yes.
Paul Dano. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I love that man. I love him. I was hoping that you were going to talk about Bean Flynn, which I talked about with Robert De Niro and Paul Dano just last
Should
week or
that?
2 weeks ago. Well, I gave it glowing reviews.
It's I don't listen
streaming
when you talk.
On
I don't
Fuckflix.
Listen when you talk.
Talked about how it's a great little gem that was brushed aside somehow and lost.
I don't know how much you know about Brian Wilson, the man.
Not
himself.
Enough. Not enough.
Okay, so Brian Wilson.
This made me somewhat of a Beach Boys fan, though. I said that when I reviewed this.
I actually enjoyed the part, the fact they spent so much time in the studio, because that's what he was known for.
Great 360 shots on the camera, where it just pans all the way around the room. You get to see everything happening with that. The crew. What do you go to the
Wrecking Crew?
The Wrecking Crew, but what are they called? The studio musicians. Yeah,
session guys.
This is like the Wrecking Crew would be a nice a companion piece to this movie.
Yeah, you're right. A not so long version of the Wrecking Crew would be nice to watch along.
Yes.
Let me just say this: okay. Brian Wilson today, Brian Wilson as he exists, or let's say in the John Cusack era, 1988 or whatever it was, mid 80s. He was a very, very, very quirky guy. Like, he spoke out the side of his mouth, and he was twitchy, and he blinked a lot. Like, he was
mental illness, Brian.
Agitated, and there was none of that.
Right.
And Brian, like, Brian Wilson is known as a certain acting a certain way, and it's like it would be like doing an impression. Well, like the aforementioned Richard Nixon, it'd be like doing someone who everyone knows, or a lot of people know.
All right, let's get off of his balls. Let's leave him alone. All right.
I like this movie. I wanted to really like it.
You can't help but watch this movie and not feel bad for John Cusack.
You really do.
Yeah. Much like you feel bad for Michael Fassbender in
Steve Jobs?
No.
The
Counselor last year, because he's just acting as hard as he could act, just sobbing and breaking down on camera. And for what?
For nothing.
You need to watch that. The Counselor.
It was my number one most anticipated. Or it wasn't number one. It was my top five most anticipated films of the fall.
I think it was number one. I think it was your number one.
It may have been.
Hey, I need to go back for a second to Steve Jobs and the worst part about the entire movie, which is very specific to me.
Let's hear it.
Okay. I take notes during the film, and I'm always very
really
cognizant.
Shouldn't do that. You really shouldn't.
Very
do that.
Very cognizant of
really
those around me,
really
and
do that.
I should also let the listeners know what I did for the sake of this here program.
What's that?
It was a movie that I banned, which was Steve Jobs. I banned it with good reason.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the writing on the wall before I saw the film, and I banned
it. The writing projected on the wall.
Brian assigned it to me because he thinks it's cute and clever, and then I learned that it's only playing.
Oh, that's right.
At one theater in Los Angeles, one theater, and it's the theater that I banned.
Just up the street from my house.
Hate.
Now, refresh the listeners' memories. Some may not know why you hate this theater so
well,
much.
Well, it thinks it's very fancy. Okay. They charge outrageous prices.
The subtext all of this is Anderson's insane, but tell us why you
They don't sell regular popcorn. They sell gourmet popcorn.
They're all valid.
That's what
these are all valid
gourmet
reasons.
Gourmet popcorn.
They're all valid reasons.
I don't even buy the popcorn. I don't buy popcorn, but I just saw, I saw it on the thing. I'm like, oh, look at that. They sell, and they don't sell it like in buckets. It's like in one of those little paper cones. Like, oh, I'm very fancy and I'm in Europe watching a film. No, you're in LA.
You're about to go
the
to Europe.
Shit part
you're
of
about
LA.
To go to Europe and watch a film. That way you get one of those popcorn things.
It'll
over
be
there.
Fine if it's over there. I don't want it over here. So you go into the theater, and then some horrible pricks come in who work there, ushers, and they're like, hello, today you'll be seeing. Yeah, I know what I'm seeing. I just spent an outrageous amount of money to see it.
Huh.
I don't need you to tell me. I do like that they stick around to make sure the projection's right, though. That's good. What I don't like is when
No commercials for the movie.
I dim it all the way down. I saw at least four or five trailers for other movies before this movie, so I don't know what you're talking about. No commercials,
like no ads, no like.
Well, no, because I'm paying out of pocket to not see those. It's like having an app on your phone, and like I don't mind seeing a little ad here and there as long as I don't have to pay 99 cents for your stupid app. And it's pointless.
How old are you?
Pointless. I'm old. Pointless.
It should be
pointless.
Worth 99 cents to you not to see an ad.
It's actually one of the cheaper theaters in the area too.
Logan, please.
The price did kind of actually seem to be a little lower. It was only $10.50 today. Yeah, only $10.50. Hey, anyways, hey. So I dim my phone as dim as it goes, right? Watch. Real quick. Look at that. Look at how dim.
I can barely see it.
Dim.
I can barely
and
see
then
it.
And then I'm very cognizant to keep it low and into my side, right?
Slung low.
Trailers are ending. They showed the last of The Room. No, Room. That movie.
Room.
That Lenny Abramson movie
awesome
coming
movie.
Out soon. Yeah, I'm very excited about it. However, I've seen that trailer.
Brie Larson? Brie Larson. Fuck.
I've seen it like 9 times now, and they show you everything. Every time there's a new trailer, too, like it shows like more of the
Reveals
end.
Reveals more.
Oh, my God. Anyways, that ends, and the movie's about to begin, right? And they give the last little like, you know, don't talk, this and that. So I'm typing in a couple things for this here program, and I hear a horrible, shrilly voice, Mammy. Down in front!
Talking
so
to you.
I'm looking around for someone standing up, and I just ignore it. And then I get tapped on the shoulder. The fucking globe is still on the screen, Brian. The globe, but the universal globe, because the movie has not begun. This horrible woman, probably a frequent flyer, your horrible theater, right in my face. The movie's begun, son. Please turn off your phone. Oh! The anger, Brian.
So this is another valid reason to hate my theater.
First time I went there, I was with the girl. She had her feet up on the bar, like that. You know, you sit in that first, yeah. the end of that.
That's why there's a bar. That's why I sit there.
Fucker comes in, little monkey boy with his little like grinder monkey fucking outfit to let us know what movie we're in there for. Excuse me, ma'am, in front of everyone. Please take your feet off the bar.
No, he did not.
Yeah, I swear to God.
Oh, that's unusual. How long
brand
ago was
new
that?
Sparkling this theater. I think it was like brand new, so like they were all like really righteous
that's
about it.
That's why people sit there. Is that feet everywhere?
That's where the banning began, Brian.
I can see that actually.
Hate.
You know what? I'm on board with you now. We're going there again.
Here we go. I saw a film. This one is streaming on the old Fuckflix.
Hooray!
Came out in 2013. Stars, well, I should say the name of it. Filth. Filth is the name of the movie, Brian. Stars James McAvoy. You know James McAvoy.
Yeah, Professor X, Charles Xavier.
Directed by John S. Baird. I believe it's Baird, yes. Who is also mainly known for Babylon TV series. Filth is a very complex, dirty cop endeavor, all right? It's fast, it's clever dialogue, but it's really crass, and much of the time crass for the sake of being crass. So McAvoy plays Bruce, who is this exceptionally dirty, horrible, drug-addled cop. Obviously inspired by, you know, Bad Lieutenant, both of the last Bad Lieutenants.
Bad Lieutenants.
It's intertwined with Christmas carols because it takes place in the streets of Scotland. And so it's intertwined with Christmas carols and Kubrick references.
Oh, is that for you?
Which I liked. I appreciate that. Early on, I wrote down in my notes that I would have loved this movie like 10 years ago. Would have loved it, right?
Eat it up.
But then I grew into actually appreciating it. Here and now. I did appreciate it as a movie. Much of our audience will love Filth. Much of our younger audience would love this movie.
Do you think you liked it? You would have liked it more 10 years ago? More than you
I would have liked it. I would have loved it 10 years ago.
Why?
Because I've seen so much since then, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Plus, I've grown up a little bit, and I don't really like those crass for the sake of being crass. Like,
look at
there's
you.
Some really filthy things that occur in
wearing
this
glasses,
movie.
And you're talking about
Brent, stop it. Stop trying to paint pictures that are not true. I'm not wearing any glasses.
Interesting. Logan, listener art this week.
It's a very, very
Logan
active.
Moy, photo by Logan Moy.
It's a very active watch is necessary for this one. A second watch would actually probably service it well if you can stomach a second watch. But it owes much of the art to the aforementioned Kubrick, as well as Terry Gilliam and Guy Ritchie. The real life Frank, Brian. The real life Frank from that movie that I love so much last year.
Oh, the Michael Fassbender film.
Chris Seavey's Frank Sidebottom, the actual real-life Frank, is an active participant in plot point. He only shows up on TVs in...
it was a TV show, right, in England or something?
Yeah. So he shows up and actually he plays... He's a pivotal plot point. But this movie, a lot going on. It feels like a Guy Ritchie movie. Give it a shot, especially if you're young and male. I don't know if many of our... I can't picture my wife sitting through this thing. But really no redeemable characters. They're all shite.
But you did like it.
But I appreciated it. Yeah, it's a well-made movie for sure.
Filth. Streaming.
And like the punk rock Anderson of days before would have loved this thing. Like a 15-year-old Anderson would have been wearing a Filth t-shirt the very next day.
Ordered on Amazon.
A couple moments too where like he's looking in the mirror and he sees an actual pig and it's like startling. It's like, fuck, I didn't see that coming. A lot of drugs, though, and it kind of gave me some coke flashbacks.
Really?
Yeah.
Good ones or bad ones?
Bad ones.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Hey, a lot of just retching and puking. And
ew. Next week is a streaming episode, right? We're doing streaming next week?
Yeah,
right, good news. Filth's not on there, but there will be a slew of films you can stream.
Filth will be one of them. Anderson, Filth has been
Anderson
up for a while.
Anderson also, you suggest one for Halloween, which is a really good idea.
Yeah, I think I had 30. I went a little overboard. Oh, I saw so many movies that were streaming that I was excited about. All right.
Third film, I saw a movie that's also streaming. Oh, before I get into it, what was the movie you said I should see, you fuckfest last week?
Oh, shit. Hey, if anyone has been to Paris or lives in Paris or has any idea where the actual irreversible rape tunnel is, I'm looking all over the line.
On.
I can't find it. I want to go to that tunnel and have my picture taken in it.
Let me ask you a question.
Face down. I want to find that tunnel, and I've read that maybe it's closed,
will you
please let me know? Send me an email over at Anderson.
We Photoshop Latenya on top of you?
Cowan.com. I really want to find that tunnel. It's an infamous tunnel, Brian.
It is. Will you, A, take the wife, B,
oh, yeah.
if you take her, will you tell her what you're taking her for.
I like the idea of,
well,
of
you just pass off as a midnight stroll.
Then it's on the way to something, and then like we walk through it, and then I'll stop her and I'll let her know. Maybe even like load it on my phone, so I'll be like, "Look, honey, this took place right here."
Will you pass it off as like a coincidence? Like, "Oh, hey, guess where we are?"
No. I have to let her know.
Yeah, you're not good enough actor.
So that the punch is warranted. She will punch. She does. Mm. All right, what were you saying before that? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was saying before I get into my third film, the one you flicked fast last week and said I should see.
A few minutes ago,
you said I should see. You said you got to see blah blah blah, and you talked about it last week. You flick fest it. You just mentioned it like 5 minutes ago.
Dude, I drink a lot.
I was talking about Paul Dano.
Uh huh. What? Oh, Bean Flynn.
Bean Flynn, third film.
What? Oh, you son of a bitch! What are you? And you're sitting watching me like struggle and look for it, and it's right there.
Bean Flynn, 2012. Streaming on Netflix, written and directed by Paul Weitz, co-director of American Pie and other films.
About a boy,
which I have not seen.
About a boy, I was like, oh, Hugh Grant, just fodder bullshit. And then I was sitting in the house one time, like waiting for like some horrible things to happen in the back of the house. I just really want to get out of there, but the TV was on. It was like late at night, and I'm like, what is this fucking movie? It's great. What is this? And then I found out it was about a boy. Like, I made some drunk guy in the corner, like, push guide. I'm like, holy shit, that's about a boy. Must see. And it's a very good movie.
I thought it sounded too much like About a Bad, and I support our troops, so I did not see it.
That's not why at all.
That's exactly why.
No, it's not.
Paul Dano stars. Robert De Niro co-stars, and Julianne Moore is also in this.
Yes.
How have we never heard of this movie?
It's bizarre, right?
This is a movie by I wouldn't call him a notable director, but by a director who has made movies.
He's a notable director. He's got one that's being beloved by the critics right now in theaters called Grandma with Lily Tomlin. Right
and
now.
You flick past that, too.
Yeah, not nearly as good as Bean Flynn in my book.
Bean Flynn, 2012. I quite like this movie, and I feel like I shouldn't, because I'm like, why does no one ever talk about this movie?
I think it'd probably be a hard movie to sell.
I imagine it's a very hard movie to sell.
Yeah, come watch Paul Dano take care of his drunken father in a homeless shelter.
Yeah, Paul Dano plays a estranged man, a young man in New York City. His mother has passed away. His father has not talked to him in 18 years, and gets back in touch when the dad, Robert De Niro, is basically getting thrown out of his apartment, the place he lives.
I'm a sought-after house guest.
Oh, my God. I wrote down some of the better quotes.
He had some great quotes. Now, this is based on reality.
Yeah, Nick
too.
Flynn is a writer. I think he's like an award-winning writer.
Right.
He's pretty well-known. And
he's the son, played by Paul Dano.
Paul Dano, correct.
This is the new Limitless.
Remember Limitless
a few years ago? Yeah. Like, no one saw it. No, it just kind of came and went. Was barely even in theaters maybe at all. And then, I mean, they're very different movies. But like, that was a movie that was brushed under the rug, and it was fucking great. We loved it.
I feel like this is more like I Love You, Philip Morris, in that respect, where it's like, well, this is a movie has big names in it.
I Love You, Philip Morris, though.
Was it ever in theaters?
I believe so.
I don't think it was ever in theaters. Either way, De Niro's character.
Yeah.
Must have been a fucking blast to write. It must have been really fun to write that character for the screen. He's prone to outbursts of intense rage. And he swings back to reserve, sort of pseudo-intellectualism. Reminds me of you.
What?
Or possibly stories I've heard about your father.
Yeah.
I imagine you said probably a great character
to write. Like, I have not dared to write about my family yet.
I imagine your dad.
I'm going to eventually
crossover here.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this De Niro character also reminded me of Dwight from This Boy's Life. Similar.
Yeah,
a very similar character. I like Dwight a little bit more than this one.
Dwight's a little more blue collar of a meathead, and this guy's more. He's the community college professor version of
Dwight's a little more believable too. I mean, De Niro. I loved him in this role. I felt like he was invested, but he's still just kind of doing a lot of screaming and yelling most of the time.
There's an intense fury bubbling just beneath the surface of the Robert De Niro character. During the opening narration, Paul Dano is introducing the story. De Niro interrupts the narration with more narration and says, "Don't worry, you're back in the hands of a master storyteller."
He's such an arrogant prick.
Ah, it's fantastic. He never, just so you know the kind of guy you're dealing with, he never acknowledges that he's being helped or that someone, that he's done anything wrong.
Oh, no. He's God's gift.
He's got any fault.
He is the epitome of a narcissist. A little bit like Jeff Daniels' character in Squid and the Whale, too, but an angry screaming version.
You're right. Like, imagine he's prone to rage. That is a very, yeah. At one point, the incident that gets him thrown out of his apartment, his below neighbors below him in the apartment are making too much noise with their music. And he starts pounding a stick on the floor. Quiet! He just starts yelling at the floor.
Well, that's kind of par for the course.
Well, the way he yelled was quite funny. I'm a sought after house guest. Why? Because I'm an excellent raconteur. I'm a sought after house guest.
Yeah, guys, check this movie out. You know what? It wasn't beloved on the old Rotten Tomatoes there.
53%. This is a really good movie.
But that means 53% of the critics saw it the way you and I saw it. I read some of the negative reviews, and mostly they just thought it was too dark and sad and depressing.
I agree with that.
But they don't get the good humor. They obviously don't appreciate the humor. Those are people without a sense of humor don't like this movie. If you can't see the humor in it, no, there's nothing redeemable here.
Robert De Niro's character carries around a wooden stick, basically like a pole, with nails hammered into it for self-defense.
He's ready to do some damage.
And at one point, he's a taxi driver. And at one point, he has a well-dressed couple obviously going out to a date or the night at the Metropolitan Opera House or something in the backseat of his car. And he's describing how he would attack someone if they came at him. And he says, bammo, right in the jugular. They're horrified and they run out of his cab.
It's pretty great scenes in Hero all these years later, too, back in a cab.
And he has the stick with him.
Back in a cab.
He has the stick with him.
Well, he's got to use an example, and he's right there.
But he's in a cab.
Back in a cab, like the old Travis Bickle. Yeah, all right.
And he does hate black people, and he has colored and
he's a race,
and homos.
And that kind of comes out of nowhere. Like, you're just thinking that he's going to be like this curmudgeon, but he's like a heart of gold, and, you know, he's a great writer. Like,
no, he's a bad person.
When Dano first meets his father, you know what I mean? But then you learn that he's just really a terrible person.
He has no redeeming qualities. All the way up until the final shot. Uh-huh. Like, his character's...
All right, Brian, you love to talk about final shots.
If you just let it go, I could have made a simple statement and no one would have...
I saw a movie in theaters now. Saw a film, Brian. 99 yeah. Problems. And a Home is One.
Oh, 99 Homes.
99 Homes. This is directed by...
You should actually know, Anderson, 99 Problems and a Home is all of them.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say bitch, but we have company, so I didn't want to say bitch.
Devon Logan? He's her worst.
Mm-hmm. No, a very lovely female just walked into the room and I didn't want to say anything filthy or horrible, like bitch, so I didn't say it. Directed by Raman Barami. Starring Andrew Garfield, Laura Dern, and Michael Shannon, Brian.
It's an intense-looking trailer.
All right. Speaking of comedy, and if there's no comedy, there's nothing much very redeeming there. There's very little comedy.
It did not look funny.
I chuckled a few times, but I'm not sure I was supposed to have been chuckling. A great score. Very, very tense score all the way through. Mm. I mean, it keeps the story moving, and you're just kind of on the edge. It's just like a thrill ride. It really is. The story is this. Andrew Garfield lives in a house with his son, 8-year-old son, and his own mother. Laura Dern plays Andrew Garfield's mom. And it's like the family home. She grew up, his mom grew up
in
that house.
How about Laura Dern, the big comeback in the last few years? She's everywhere.
Sad, though, seeing her play people's moms, because I remember as...
It's Lulu.
Yeah, Lola.
Lulu? Sailor and Lulu, I thought.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Not Lola.
Lula. You want to fuck Lola's mom? Oh, it's Lola.
Is it Lola?
Yeah.
Oh,
go ahead, look it up. Why don't we have the kid look it up?
Yeah, I say Logan got to do something this episode.
Will you look up and see what Laura Dern's name is in the old Wild at Heart there?
You've seen it many more times.
I've seen it probably 25 times. But I get it confused with Lilo, too, from Stitch.
Lilo and Stitch. As well as
Fifth.
It's Lula.
Want to fuck both Lula's mama.
You know what? I feel like you were more wrong than me.
Lula. No, what did I say? Lola? Lula. It's still enough with that. Let's move on. Jesus. All right. So
Lululemon.
She plays and it opens up with, you know, they're having some issues and he's in court. This is based around the 2008 housing
crisis.
Crash, the market crash. And long story short, Andrew and his 8-year-old son or so and his mom are all kicked out of their family home in Florida. Kicked out. Evicted. Removed from the house. Mm. Foreclosed on. Michael Shannon is the real estate broker agent who takes over for the bank. He kind of represents the bank, and now it's like kind of his property, and he shows up with cops, and that's the beginning of the movie. And I remember when I first read about this, I guess I didn't read enough into it, but I thought that it was gonna be a role reversal. I thought it was Andrew Garfield was gonna be like the young entrepreneur who's a real estate magnate, and he's
the desperate man.
But it's age appropriate. So like the younger guy, and then through a short series of events, Andrew starts working for Michael Shannon's character, Carver, right?
Foreclosing, right, or evicting, or whatever.
Because he's desperate. They're living in a horrible, sketchy
kill
hotel.
Or be killed.
And you know,
survival
so
the fittest.
This movie ends up being like a study of human greed and here we go. Michael,
it reminded me, let me say real quick, remember the movie Roger and Me? There was the one character whose job it was in Flint, Michigan to kick people out of
right.
houses who
yeah,
couldn't
yeah.
pay. It reminded me a little bit of that, obviously.
Michael Shannon gives a very that uneasy feeling whenever he's on screen.
Yeah.
Which is good, but not if he's Less is more with Michael Shannon. I love him as an actor.
I agree with you.
But whenever he's on screen, there's like an uneasy feeling like that, not to bring up your reversal again, but that score when they're in the rectum in the beginning, and it makes you feel like you're nauseous. Like, you're just worried. Much like Iceman. Remember the Iceman? There was just nothing.
No, I never saw Iceman. But
nothing fun, just kind of ominous and scary whenever he's on screen, I love him.
My favorite Michael Shannon, Take Shelter actually is different because I think it's a quiet movie. It's introspective movie. You didn't have to do too much.
You're absolutely right. I was thinking about that just today. I was thinking, why did Take Shelter work with Michael Shannon throughout? He is Take Shelter.
It's a quiet movie. He didn't say much.
And you know what? He is the movie. Like, when you think about his presence, like ominous and uneasy feeling, that needed to be there for that movie to work.
I'm thinking off the top of my head, every Michael Shannon role that I love, and there are a lot, have been small.
He was great in Mud.
Yeah, he was great in Mud. He was great in...
Have you seen Bug yet?
No, you were about to send it to me.
Oh, Bug. Come on your way soon. Yeah. Bug.
Great. He was great. I know you don't love Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, but he was great in that as the sort of brother who...
What's that? Which one?
Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. Mm-hmm. He was great in that as the guy kind of shakes down Ethan Hawke's character.
Andrew Garfield gives a really good performance here, but it's a little bit difficult to forgive his character when everything's said and done. I think that I would have been annoyed if they had any over the top, like, you should like him for this reason. I hate when they do that. You know what I mean? Like, we're like... Where did I just saw? I saw a movie recently where like they kept going back to how he takes care of his mentally challenged brother.
Right.
And obviously that was just there so you don't hate this man.
Yes.
He needed
a little bit more. The cat moment.
He was doing, you know, some unethical things for the sake of his mom and his child. But at the end of the day, you're looking at this and it's just a bunch of horrible fucks, horrible people. And it has an end, the end of the film, which I'm not talking about, but it's really hard to swallow. I didn't buy that would be how one person would take the news of what was happening at all.
Barack Obama swept in and solved everything.
But 99 Homes, it's a thrill ride and commentary on, you know, something that happened just 7 short years
recent
ago.
Recent history.
Yeah. And I can recommend.
Okay.
99 Homes in the theater now.
Yeah, it comes out this week, right?
I saw it. I don't know. What? It's in theaters. It's all in it.
Coming up next, the top 5 actors we would like.
Oh, yeah. I forgot what we were doing. This is going to be fun.
I disagree. No, I do agree, actually. Top 5 actors we want to see play our co-host. People there, let me tell you. Girl on stage about to sing. Well, she said I've been working on this song sometime. Hoping to think of the perfect rhyme. She sang, my heart began to ring. It's that time of year, Anderson. People are buying their Halloween costumes on our old Amazon click-through banner.
Some of them are lighting them on fire.
What do you mean?
Crazy guy like back east or something in Walmart just started lighting random Halloween costumes on fire.
You think he's a listener?
I want to be shocked.
You know what? If he is, thank you, sir, for encouraging people to have to go online on
just
Amazon.
Just cruising around Walmart with, I think it was Walmart, with lighter fluid.
I did not
hear about this. Dousing various things on fire.
Okay. Well, thanks to the people who didn't do that and instead went to the Amazon banner, AndersonBryan.com, and clicked through and got a Star Wars Stormtrooper helmet set, a SpongeBob SquarePants kids costume, a child's cat costume kit, Kit Kat. What is this here? Oh, someone got a ninja costume and a ninja sword. And someone's going as Duffman, Anderson. They got a Duff Beer sleeveless shirt and a Duff Beer dustable cap. You know what his real name is?
No, nerd.
It's like Tom Duffman. He's like, I guess I'll just go back to being Tom Duffman.
Oh, yeah.
Duffman.
Yes, I get it.
It's great. Other things purchased include someone got five whiskey wallets. They're like leather little pouches for your whiskey.
Go ahead, say it.
What?
Oh, you know what this is? I bet someone's getting married. I bet it's groomsman.
I wrote it down. Groomsman gift.
Because you always say the same shit.
I bet it's a groomsman gift.
I can't wait to tell you the actors that I want to play you. I can't wait.
I can't wait to hear it. Somebody got a home intercom system, a LG LED monitor, Bose noise-canceling headphones, Angry Birds Band-Aids. I guess that's good for the kids, right? The antibacterial Band-Aids, the Angry Birds. Oh, Angry Birds Star Wars.
Angry Birds movie coming out soon.
There's Angry Birds Star Wars Band-Aids?
How is it still occurring? Oh, yeah, because they're both owned by the same company, probably. They're like, let's melt them together.
What franchise do we have to leverage?
Mm-hmm. Hey, LG, what's it stand for again?
Life's good.
Lucky Golden, right? Isn't it something like that? Lucky Star, like, oh gee, we looked it up a couple weeks ago. Good little piece of trivia, we all forgot it.
Veggie Wash was purchased. Someone got a stethoscope. Oh, I think Dr. Drew clicked through and got a stethoscope.
I don't think that was him.
Probably not. A 7-piece cutlery set with a knife block. This is nice but sad. Someone got a book that you put, you sign at a funeral, like in memory of. You sign the book and there's one that's memory.
Oh, that'd be a really fun wedding gift.
A Shredder was purchased. An Amazon Fire was purchased. Astronaut ice cream. Neapolitan flavor was purchased. A Manchester wood glass top display coffee table. Chestnut. A seatbelt cutter. That's very important. If you're ever in a car crash and it's on fire, you can't get out, get out of that seatbelt cutter.
I had one in my car for a while. It kept slipping under the seat, so I just finally chucked it.
Okay. What is this here? Boots. Yeah, someone got safety boots for the workshop. A poker button. You know what that is? The dealer button. You put the front of the dealer, and it goes around and then goes on the table. A Chicago Cubs pullover hoodie, and a Michigan State Spartans baby booties and a baby onesie.
The Cubs.
Go Sparty!
The Cubs beating the Cards, pounding the Pirates, and just making quick work of them.
They're making mincemeat.
Hey, it was Lucky Gold Star.
Lucky Gold
Lucky
Star?
Lucky Gold Star.
Lucky Goldman sounds like an agent from the 40s.
Lucky Gold Star, is that what LG stands for? Hey, you know what? Here in the movie, there were click losers, the last ones I am! I should put more problems before I make that announcement. All the President's Men, look at that, a classic, a modern-day classic, right? Gangs of New York with Bill the Butcher. Hard Eight, also known as Sydney.
Sydney.
Let's click through right there. Hard Eight, a drastically different film, and Pixels was also clicked through. Pixels and Hard Eight, very few things in common. Aladdin was clicked through, the movie that takes place 100% during sunset. You notice that? Constantly purple and oranges in the background. Kind of annoying.
It's always a twilight hour.
Ex Machina, perhaps the greatest modern day AI film ever made.
Okay.
2001, still leaving. Mad Max Fury Road, the greatest movie of the year! Pitch! The Graduate, The Polar Express. Here's some Halloween movies that I've never seen that were clicked through. The Brood! Twins of Evil, Exorcist 3, Legion, and Halloween 6.
Twins of Evil.
The Curse of Michael Myers. The Curse? Really? Well, I mean, I think that we kind of picked up that he was kind of a cursed individual when he was hacking people away through 1 through 5.
That's true. We had to have
number six.
Fill number six.
When they finally figure out, like, that man's kind of cursed.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
Thanks, you guys, for clicking through for all your Halloween needs, whether it's costumes or movies. If you want to stream a movie on Halloween night, consider clicking through our site if you'd like to. In the meantime, back to the show. Hi, everyone. It's Bryan Cranston. That's right. Bryan spelled the right way. And you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBryan.com. Agreed. It'll always be something we always have between us. Hey, welcome back.
Shh. Don't say
anything. Nothing will be said. I'm really interested to see your list. I'll bet it's very complimentary.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I also got some shit this weekend. I deservedly so. Bridge of Spies. It's been banned. Banned that movie. Even though some of the trailers make it look a little bit better than I was anticipating. I forgot to mention that...
It's a little hard band, in other words, a soft band.
The Coen brothers did write at least the story, and I believe much of the script they're credited with writing, which is another draw. But the fact that it's a PG-13 Steven Spielberg Cold War film starring Tom Hanks, I mean, that's just so many goddamn red flags. I like some of those things individually, but not all in a soup.
You know
what I mean? The
Tom
soup.
Hanks or Steven Spielberg has never made a good PG-13 film.
I want to stab you in the eye with my pen.
Please wait till I see Bridge of Spies.
Or until I cast you, because then I would have to find somebody who looks good in a patch.
That's right.
Eye patch. All right, here we go. Number five. Oh, why don't you start? I got a couple ties here. All right, let's do it.
I'm sure your list is extremely flattering.
How do you win? We got to have a way we can win. Somebody has to win.
I feel like the listeners win.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Just from hearing us.
It's gross, Bryan. But I'm glad you just said that. You want to say any other Bryan things here before we start so that people understand my choices?
I feel like we're being very giving.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
Boy, a tickled Anderson is really the best thing in the world.
Go ahead.
Number five for me.
Yeah, that's where we start.
It's not quite age appropriate. He's got you by a few years. But, you know, speaking of River of Fury bubbling just below the surface.
Right.
No one taps it. Well, that's you, but no one taps into that quite like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, what? Don't be. Are you going to kill me with kindness today?
Daniel Day-Lewis can act. He goes the best between casual, much like you, between casual conversation and just like red rage.
You know who else has that? Nick Nolte. He should be on your list.
He is, but he's a little too haggard. And take that as a compliment because you're a little more put together.
Yeah, give me a couple of years.
You're a little more, I agree.
Oh, God damn it, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, when you get very angry, you get a little Nolte-ish.
I love Nolte so much, but I couldn't watch that movie that he was just in.
Now.
About them camping. I just couldn't do it.
I had a hard time finding a picture of there's Danny.
Are you doing visual jokes here? That could be you. Are you doing visual jokes for our audience?
I had a hard time.
Just showed me a very nice black and white picture of Daniel Day Lewis wearing
Daniel Day Lewis with blonde hair. But here's look at this from what's this movie? I wrote it down.
What's happening here?
I wrote it down.
Why are you doing visual jokes for the audio podcast, Brian? Can you tell me that? Why don't we do some magic tricks while we're at it? Look at this. Pick a card.
Close your eyes.
Yeah.
Look at that. That's a young Daniel Day from 85.
Oh, Christ.
How did that look like you when you were younger?
Kind of terrible. Why does he have his hair in bobby pins? Why are we talking about movies or in pictures that no one can see? Brian.
Yeah. Look. That's Anderson.
Okay. Brian, do you realize the inherent problem with this?
Number five for you. It's on us to create a theater of the mind and describe what we're seeing.
A young Daniel Day-Lewis.
With a chiseled fucking... Look at those cheekbones.
Number five. That's gorgeous. For me. Brian, you know what?
What's that?
There's a man
My beautiful
who
laundrette.
I think you
My
would like to
laundrette.
See play you very much.
Yeah, what's that? His Optimus
name,
Prime?
His name is Michael Biehn.
Whoa.
Michael Biehn is not on my list.
Oh.
I saw Optimus Prime walking down... shit you not. A couple days ago, I tried to pull over to take a picture, but Hollywood Boulevard, there's no place to do it.
No.
A guy dressed up, he probably was about 6'8". Optimus Prime, really good costume too. Pushing a stroller with what I believe I saw to be a baby.
Please tell
Optimus
me. Please
Prime.
Tell me it was Bumblebee.
And it looked like a baby version of him in the.
That's pretty sweet.
And he was kind of walking away from the front of the TCL Chinese Theaters. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he's like a performer down there, but it was very odd.
That is odd. That's surreal.
It was very surreal.
If you were
yes.
on drugs, you would have probably just chalked up.
Trying to get a picture for you, but it wasn't worth causing an accident.
That's pretty great.
Number five for me. This
not
is an actor.
Not Michael Biehn.
This is an actor who you might have first seen in Roger Dodger. I think he was also in The Village, Brian. More importantly, he was in The Squid and the Whale, as well as The Education of Charlie Banks. I'm talking about Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg?
He'd be a great Brian.
He's totally unlikable.
You'd be a great Brad. You ever seen that movie Social Network?
I have. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
He wasn't a very likable character, though. I got to be honest with you.
He was a little bit smug. I feel like he can pull off smug. Oh, and there's a bald
Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. That's fucking genius right there. That's another reason. There you go. Even looks like you now.
I got to be. Logan, with Johnny on the spot with that photo.
Well done, yeah. Even though it's an audio podcast, so that's not really going to. Maybe someone could put together a collage of all the... All right,
Logan, you can do that, right?
Number five. Number four for you. Jesse Eisenberg. I just think he could encapsulate...
I disagree.
Brian.
He's
a great actor.
He's not a likable character.
He's a great actor.
He doesn't play warm and fuzzy characters.
He does. He has.
Really?
American Ultra, he's supposed to be likable. He kind of was. Hmm. Education of Charlie Banks.
That's your
him.
Best example? He kind of was? I don't feel like it's a very flattering...
Oh, Brian... It's a good one. You'll see. In retrospect, you'll realize that Jesse Eisenberg was quite kind.
Number four for me.
Please hurry up so I can get to my number four.
Number four for me.
Oh, my number four is the best. How is it not number one? Okay, go ahead, Brian.
He's not really an actor, but there have been many great examples. What are you rolling your eyes for? There have been many great examples.
I feel like you're taking liberties.
No, absolutely not. This is a guy I would like to see cast as you. Just because he hasn't acted professionally before. Maybe he has. He has made music videos.
What? So it was my number four.
Oh, no.
What? Go ahead.
I would like to see... There's been many great examples of musicians to taking the taking roles and doing great things with them. Mm. I want to see Dexter Holland play Anderson.
You know what? He does look a lot like me.
Look at him.
Very weird.
Dexter.
Very strange.
Logan, look at Dexter.
Very like mellow, nice guy.
And let me say this. Dexter has gotten... He's pudgier than you are.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, buddy. I think
not by a lot.
I was afraid you were gonna go with like all just like horribly fat actors. That'd be the way to crush me.
Oh, really?
You want to be mean to me?
There's still time. How do you spell Giamatti?
Who?
How do you spell Giamatti?
Paul Giamatti. Here we go. Number four for me. Also, not an actor. However, Brian, he has been an actor. He was in
Dexter Holland, lead singer of The Offspring. I'm sorry, there's probably a handful of people who have no idea who that is.
He played Vincent in Joe's Apartment, Brian. this guy, who's mainly a musician. Well, if you can call him that. He's a computer music guy.
Is he in Fight Club?
And he's in a movie coming up called The Intruder, or just Intruder. I'm talking about Moby.
No.
Moby would be a fine Brian Bishop.
You know what? You're racist. Every white guy, every bald guy with glasses.
Oh, I'm not racist. Give me time, Brian. Wait until you... Okay, but it's coming up. But hey, Moby would make a fine Brian.
There could be a lot worse.
A last minute addition to the list here.
There could be a lot worse.
And I there's no way I couldn't have him on the list because I was looking at various pictures of him. I'm like, Brian, that's Brian. That's skinny Brian. That's skinnier Brian. That's smug Brian. Mm. Oh, yeah, Moby, you.
If Steven Soderbergh directed the movie, we wouldn't know what to do.
Soderbergh, director of photography on the most recent Magic Mike. You know that? Insane.
He was DP.
Yeah.
He was the DP?
Yeah.
He must have shown up a couple
around.
Days.
Sticking around. No, no. He's into shooting. He likes shooting as
That's
much
very
as directing.
Strange.
If not. All right. Enough about Soderbergh out of the blue. Sorry.
Number three. This actor is not primarily known as a... here we go. Oh, I gotta tell you, this is, let me look at my list. I think this is the only, this is the only truly unlikable character slash actor on the list. But you know what? When he goes blonde, Jared Leto.
What?
Jared Leto! And he's a good actor. He could be you. Look at him. Look
you
at
know
him.
How much I despise
from
that
Fight
man,
Club,
right?
From Fight Club.
Oh, you know, why are you being nice right now? They're making pretty boys me. Why are you doing that?
He's a beautiful man. Mm-hmm. He's angry, and I do believe he's contemptuous of all the rest of us plebeians. Philistines.
He does believe he's God. He's got God complex. The last couple times that I've had to be in the same room as that man, it hurt my soul, Brian. It was all I could muster to not scream out, fuck yourself, at the top of my lungs. Like it was right on the tip of my lungs.
See, I believe,
I could feel it.
I believe
like,
yourself.
Bubbling up,
so
and I'm like,
works.
I got to get the fuck out of this room before I scream at this man because I hate him. I hate him so much. Oh, God complex.
Can you imagine me played you?
Number three for me.
Jared Leto as Anderson.
This one's sad. This one made me sad.
Why are we going to say it then?
No, my number three for me made me sad. And this is a tie as well. Because the original actor that I thought of that would be great playing you, I had forgotten that he died.
Oh. Uncomfortable.
But Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman.
Yeah.
The midget.
He's not a midget. Brian, he is small. He had a kidney problem. He's not a midget.
He was
a little man. He was small.
He was diminutive.
From Different Strokes, Brian.
That's the actor you
Arnold
thought of?
Arnold Jackson. I thought it could be a bit of stunt casting. I understand that.
You think casting like Gary Coleman is me a stunt casting?
It depends on the kind of movie.
Okay.
If it's like a Todd Solondz type feel that I'm going for, yeah, I could see that.
Well, who'd you replace him with?
There's a man named Peter Dinklage. Call him the Dink.
Why am I a tiny person?
Because he's a small man, but a big actor.
Hmm. I feel like you have other things written down there.
Have you seen some of the smug pictures that he's been taking recently?
I feel like there's a theme going on.
He looks at you. Actually, Bill Burr even said it like when I saw him at the Festival Supreme last week. Like he didn't say his name out, but you knew who he was talking about. And I've seen the pictures he's talking about. Like he's posing and he's looking at the camera like he's going to beat the fuck out of you and then bang your wife. I've seen you. I've seen you make that picture, that face.
Really?
The picture, I think it was in your book, where you look like a magician. That's the face that Dinklage makes.
Okay, gay magician.
Talking about.
He looks very self-assured and very confident.
He's holding a bird, too.
He looks very self-assured to me.
He's from Station Agent, X-Men, but of course, Game of Thrones, Game of Moans, as I call it.
Elf, people know him from.
Tyrion Lannister.
Peter Dinklage.
Tyrion Lannister, Brian. And you know this, I actually discovered this in a little research. Woody Allen gave him his first break in a movie from 1993. I think Shadows and Fog. He played a circus performer.
Well, that's a big break.
What was his first film?
Peter Dinklage. You know what? I take it as a compliment. He's a fine actor. A nice contribution.
I like him as an actor very much. He's the. Hold on.
I feel like there's a theme going on here.
Yeah, he's the finest actor on this list by far. I think he'd do a
well.
Fine
you don't
job.
Know them, but he's not a good actor.
If he could follow you around and just get like some of your manners, he's already got your smugness going. I mean, we've already proved that.
I feel like smugness has come up now once or twice. Do I project a smugness? What am I talking about? Of course I do. and no one does it better.
Well, hey, Brian, come on.
Come
now
on
it's getting
next.
Real and creepy. I don't like it.
See?
Well played.
Come on next. I can't wait to see your top two actors you like to see play.
Oh, but
me.
Number one is a tie. I got a young Brian and an old Brian.
Anderson.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been playing DraftKings or not. I've been playing every single week. Mm-hmm. I've been playing our listeners. I get challenges now. And like I ask people to do, if you want to challenge me at Bald Brian, that's my DraftKings username, I will take you on. I'll accept your challenge, provided you put a little note in there. Let me know you're a Film Ball listener, because I get a lot from the other shows that I'm on. Mm-hmm. And I like to acknowledge and play against our Film Ball listeners. Mm-hmm. And some people say, yeah, I can take your money. And in fact, they have.
Oh, what was your reckon this week?
I lost all my contests because I started in every... I made a few different lineups, and in every single one I started Charles Clay, Leonard Hankerson, and Jamal Charles, all of whom combined for about a dozen points.
Nice.
Well, Jamal Charles tore his ACL in the middle of the game, so that's bad news right there.
That's nice for him.
I thought I had some steals in there, and I did not.
Well done, listeners.
Well done, listeners. They had some good lineups, too, and they kicked my ass. So if you'd like to play me, go to DraftKings.com and hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code TFV. You can play for free for a shot at a part of $10 million in Sunday's Millionaire Maker event. Enter TFV for free entry now. That's a real deal, by the way. They give out $1 million on Sunday to the winner. So check it out. You know, enter for free, TFV, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Hey, did you see Shaq tearing it up with Jimmy Fallon?
No. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did a fake thing where one of the writers does an impression of you.
What's his name?
His name's Arthur.
Arthur, I'm going to kick your ass out of this.
No.
Well, Jimmy is going to be on Shaq's podcast pretty soon.
Yeah, it's a big podcast with me, Shaquille O'Neal, on Podcast One.
You're so used to doing it with me, Shaquille O'Neal, yeah.
And when Jimmy's not there, you can always bet Adam Sandler, Kobe Bryant, Michael Strahan, Justin Bieber, Charles Barkley, Neil Patrick Harris, Kyrie Irving, or Ludacris might show up. Oh, wait. They already did.
Gosh, it makes us laugh. It's good, it's fun, and there was one where you interviewed Kim Kardashian, and so we had snippets of that on the show.
That's my favorite one.
Download your favorite episode of The Big Podcast with Shaq now at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Yep, welcome back. Limited commercial interruption today, Anderson. You like that?
Yes. Of course.
Yes. Top two. Top two actors you'd like to see play each other in the Film Vault movie.
Oh, you know what I came up with?
What are you playing crossword puzzles now?
No, it was an ad. I was yachtseeing my wife. My wife just...
taking advantage of our break times?
Oh, yeah. I was playing a little Yahtzee. Sorry. I'm working on some new die, Brian. I'm trying to get some... the better dice.
You thought me looking at pictures of actors was boring.
It was
describing your Yahtzee game with your wife is excruciating.
It's true. That is excruciating. But it was during a break, and we should not have been brought up. In researching for this week's list here, Brian, I came up with a new topic that we should do sometime in the near future.
What's that?
Cinema's biggest weasels.
Oh, like you mean like the actual person or the characters they play?
The characters they play.
Okay.
Like weaselly characters.
Top five weaselly characters.
Yeah, not bad, right?
I love that.
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
All right, soon.
Logan, write that down.
Go ahead.
Oh, me. Okay. Remember what you said when we came up with this list? The first thing you said to me, the character to avoid?
Gary Busey, yes.
No Gary Busey.
Oh, nice. His son, Jake Busey.
Instead.
Jake
Busey.
I love the Jake Busey.
Jake Busey can play you. Jake, where is Jake Busey gone? Is he on TV or something? Is he doing things that I don't know?
I think he might have had a bit of a break. I know he spent a lot of time up in Canada and Toronto. I don't know where he's been. I've not seen him. We miss him.
We need a little more Jake Busey in our lives.
He was great in Contact. He was great in The Frighteners. Fuck, got me a count of 13.
Starship Troopers.
His head didn't do so well.
Wait, didn't he?
All right, settle down. Everyone's
You're
settled.
Thinking of someone else. You're thinking of...
His head didn't do well.
Okay, maybe he did. Mm-hmm. His head would do very well as you.
I don't really like his gum line, but everything else I really appreciate
some big,
about
him. He's got some big chiclets.
Chompers.
You'd have to file those down to play you.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with this, and I don't know how I should feel about you killing me with nice things today.
I don't feel like these are complimentary.
I feel like there's a big whopper coming. I feel like number one is going to be something really heinous.
You'll have to wait and see.
And perhaps dead on and hurtful.
What's your number two?
Perhaps biting. Number two for me. This is an actor. I wouldn't be shocked if you don't know this man's name. Either way. Mostly known for TV roles. He's,
nope, I'm out.
He was on Dawson's Creek back in the day, as well as The Sopranos. Sex in the City, Brian. He was even on a few episodes of Andy Barker.
Evan Handler?
P.I. But it's the character of Buster Bluth on Arrested Development.
Oh, David Cross.
That really put Tony Hale on the map. Tony Hale would make a great Brian Bishop.
Who's Tony Hale?
I'm not shocked.
I'll have to look him up. That doesn't mean anything.
Tony Hale, you'd know him. He was in the aforementioned American Ultra just recently.
Logan, show me a picture of Tony Hale.
Most of our listeners are going to know Tony Hale from Arrested Development.
Extremely handsome man.
Ray Veep.
Yeah, yeah, from Veep.
I love him. Whenever he comes on the screen, I'm like, yeah, Tony Hale. Yes, love.
He's not so much smug. He's Weasley. He has beady eyes. Oh. What are you trying to say?
I came up with a list that we should do in the not too distant future.
Weasley?
While researching for today's list.
You're inspired from all the choices you didn't choose.
Top five biggest weasels. In the cinema.
It's odd that you would think of that while you're thinking of me.
No, but I can see Tony Hale. He's a fine actor.
He is. Very funny guy.
He does a lot of voice work as well. He's going to be in the, which I momentarily mentioned moments ago, Angry Birds. He'll be in that coming out.
He wasn't an Inside Out, was he? Well, you wouldn't know that.
No, I don't think he was. No. Mm-mm. All right. Go ahead. I only have one left. But Brian, why are you being nice?
I don't feel like that was a compliment.
Here we go. Tony Hale. No, Tony Hale would capture you well. I can see Tony Hale.
So I will give full credit. I will give full credit to the
cargo shorts.
What?
Flip flops.
None of those things.
Anyone that I would have play you would have to do that.
Oh yeah, it's summertime. I wear a lot of cargo shorts and flip flops. Mm-hmm. Wait till winter comes around. Wearing fun socks. That's gonna be a thing.
I could see Buster Bluth wearing fun socks. Yeah. I think he might have actually.
I love fun socks. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I have to give full credit to a listener. I didn't write his name down on Twitter, who pointed out that you look exactly like an actor.
It's not about looks here, Brian. It's about acting ability and the way that they're perceived on screen.
Well, he did play a rapist in one movie. So there is that.
Most good actors do at one point or another.
Uh-huh. I don't even know how to pronounce the name. Jonathan Lauren? Lauren? Jonathan Lochran.
You're casting me as someone who you don't
know. Do you recognize this man? Besides as you?
That doesn't look like me.
That looks like you!
Does not look like me.
Doesn't look like you.
No. Well, with all his cross eyes and goofiness. Who is this person?
He plays in a lot of Billy Happy Madison movies. Mm-hmm. He plays a cross-eyed guy in The Waterboy.
Right.
But he was also in Kill Bill as the trucker who pays to have sex with what he thinks is Beatrix Kiddo's corpse.
All right. Well, good for you, listener, to get this on.
That's
Brian.
You! Uh-huh. With cross-eyed.
All right, fine, whatever. Is that your number one?
That's my number one.
That's your number one.
Look at
him. Inspired.
How's it uninspired?
Come on,
exactly
Brian.
Like you. I found your doppelganger.
I was expecting like the Billy Flays guy or whatever, the cook guy with the
Bobby
frosted.
Flay?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no. You're thinking of Guy Fieri?
I don't know. The frosted tips fuck.
He's not fat enough.
I was Brian.
See, there you go.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for saying that. Now I'm going to go into my number one. Yeah.
You know it wasn't earned, right?
All right, for you hockey fans out there, you're going to understand when I say that young or modern or present day, Pierre Maguire would be perfect as Brian. Every time I see this smugly prick's face on TV, I think, hey, looks like my co-host, Buddy Brad.
Are you talking about me?
Pierre Maguire. He's a color analyst for TSN Hockey
TV
colored? Series. Color analyst, Brian. Oh, yeah, that's another reason why I thought it'd be fun to, going back to my number three, Gary Coleman, when I was thinking about casting him, it'd be like it was stunt casting and irony because of your rampant racism.
I don't understand that.
Be interesting to see a black man play you since you're
a
known race. Brian, back to Pierre Maguire. So modern day, present day, Brian, played by Pierre Maguire. He's not an actor. He doesn't have any credits, but I feel like I could get a performance out of him. He's comfortable in front of the camera.
Sure.
He knows smug like no other.
Okay.
Pierre Maguire.
Is he well-spoken and handsome?
Now, this would be a bio piece, Brian. Oh. This would go like deep into your years.
Oh, Pierre Maguire is number one.
Well, he's my number 1A.
Oh,
young.
Number one.
Yeah, yeah. He's my Paul Dano for the Brian Wilson story. Yeah.
Before I spin out on drugs.
Yeah, before you spin out on drugs. Now, you're going to late in your years. You might put on a few pounds. But I think that Mr. Rob Reiner would do a fantastic job playing Brian.
That's my number one for you.
He is on top of his soapbox.
Rob Reiner.
Oh, yeah.
He's not even an actor anymore.
No, he's an activist.
Like 300 pounds.
He's an activist. What you will be. I could see you late in years eating your wife's cakes, fat as can be, yelling about politics and what I am right and you're wrong. You should do what I say.
You know what's funny is I actually have I have no interest in politics
not
whatsoever,
yet.
But I could take up a cause, cancer awareness and things like that. Yeah, for sure.
Young Brian, modern, or today Brian, Pierre Maguire. Look him up. He looks just like
I know who he is. Yeah. I get tweeted that a lot.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because Pierre Maguire, especially during hockey season.
He used to bench coach for the Penguins, which infuriates me.
You don't like him?
It makes me really upset.
It's funny you choose. It's funny you choose two guys you really dislike for your number one.
But I love you, buddy. I'm just trying.
It's a really interesting dynamic that we have.
I care about accuracy.
It's very interesting commentary on what you think about.
Stop it, Brian. I don't like how you're using this episode to twist things. I don't like it.
It's funny. We didn't talk about this beforehand.
This was supposed to be an all-out attack on one another.
Is that what it's supposed to be?
Yeah.
According to who?
It's just nature.
Okay. What? Logan, you solicited some ideas from the listeners?
What? Who would you like to display?
Well, I mean, how young are we going? Are we talking like...
Today.
Yeah, I got like a Gosling.
Oh, wait, I got one.
A Ryan Gosling.
You're going to like this one a lot. My new number one.
Oh, no, new. Okay.
Maguire?
Out. Benched.
Rob Reiner? Oh, by the way, Rob, I saw your dad's star on the Walk of Fame the other day.
Carl Reiner, yeah.
Spit on it.
That's
I like Carl a lot, but I don't like what he produced there.
So
you.
Because you dislike his son so much, spit on his...
It was a little dirty. It needed to be washed off.
Yeah, he spit shined it.
Got a new number one for you.
Okay.
Mr. Ace Man himself.
Adam Carolla?
You would love it.
My dream.
You would actually... I could see you becoming erect.
A lot of listeners want him to play you.
Wow.
Now, I could see you being so excited, Brian, that you might actually be... physically attracted to his portrayal of you on the screen. Can't you see that?
I can see the universe folding in on itself in like a black hole if I actually became aroused at the sight of him playing me. Yeah, that's not bad.
So stupid. All right.
Why were you so mean to me this episode?
I wasn't. I was looking for accuracy, all right, Brian?
I don't think you were.
Sometimes accuracy is not very pleasant.
It's true. That is true, actually. It's insightful what you just said. All right, Logan, let's hear some listeners. Well, do you have a consensus top five?
I'm going to drive away from
you
feeling like an ass.
I'm going to mention some of the better ones. In addition to people wanting Carolla to play Anderson, a lot of people want Michael Biehn to play Anderson for Brian's delight.
Oh, we should also Rans, right? I'll do it at the end. Michael Biehn is also
Some people said Bryan Cranston to play Brian, I think just because of the name is similar.
The bald thing, I imagine. Thing. When he
a lot of Asians to play me. Which makes sense, but
I got one for you. My only also ran is for you.
I got one for you too.
Let's see who else. We got
who are the Asians to play you?
There's Margaret Cho, Tila Tequila.
Rude.
I know, Tila Tequila.
Brian Jason Alexander to play Brian.
Jason Alexander fall off?
He's a fine actor. He's also very smug. He's too smug.
Tom Hardy for Anderson.
Paul Giamatti for me.
Jim Rash for Brian.
Paul Giamatti's more for you because he flies into a rage at the drop of a hat.
It's not about rage. Jim Rashford, he's played the principal on Community. I could see you. Or is that just Jim Rash?
No, that's who they're talking about. Right? Jim Rash.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. David Cross for Brian. Yeah. Gilbert Gottfried for Brian.
For me.
He actually came up on one of the lists that I was looking at, weasels or something. He came up. But
you searched for weasels?
Well, yeah.
What are the words? I need to see your Google search history. What else do you search for?
Come on, buddy.
Please tell me, kindness.
I don't like it.
Please tell me you put dashing.
Got a Jack Black for Anderson.
What?
As well as Aaron Paul.
That's biting. That's hurtful.
Aaron Paul? Why?
The Jack Black. I'm still stuck on the fat Jack Black.
A lot of Pierre Maguire to back up Anderson.
He's a bit chubby.
Pierre is you.
Okay.
And he's so smugly preening, bro.
Sounds like a nice guy.
I got a Keanu Reeves.
For who?
For me. I actually
for who?
Anderson T.J. Miller, which he
yeah.
You know, it's funny. I thought that T.J. took the place of Jake Busey.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks, man.
No, hey. Like in life.
Oh,
like he.
Oh, you're
he
right.
Sopped up everything he left behind.
Nick Nolte for Anderson.
Yeah, I can see that.
Jason Statham for Brian.
Yeah, ask him for Brian.
Kermit, I should have put that down.
Kermit the Frog
for Brian. That would work. Actor, yeah. Man. The little shrimp dude from the Muppets for Brian. Little shrimp guy with the big mouth. What's that little dude? The big, you should know. He's like nothing but teeth. He's like a little creature. Come on.
From the Muppets?
Yes. He's like nothing but like teeth. And like he has like little eyes above his teeth and like red.
Animal?
Oh, Johnzo? No. What the fuck's wrong with you guys? I thought you liked the Muppets. I'm not the Muppet guy. He was on the TV show just the other day. I saw like a promo for it.
I like accurate descriptions of Muppets.
I'll find it after the show. But
Dr. Teeth? There's a Dr. Teeth.
Is there?
Yeah.
All right.
Statler and or Waldorf? That should be you.
That might
me.
Be it.
Be
what is that?
Me. They're the old men.
Oh, okay. Logan, Adam Driver. The more I see Adam Driver, the more he reminds me of you. Very Adam Driver-esque, this kid over here.
I want Logan to be played by Liam Aiken. Liam Aiken is the guy from How to Be a Man, who we thought was so much like Logan.
Oh, yes, he was very.
Or former...
The kid, right? The kid that was being told right. how to be a man?
Mm-hmm. The former guest of the show, John Cho, could also play Logan.
Oh, Cho was just in something. He was in Grandma. He was in Grandma. He played an offended... what do you call those coffee people that make coffee?
Barista.
Barista. He was offended barista, Brian.
And also, I have to give credit to a listener who suggested Logan get played by Aubrey Plaza. This guy's
rude.
Also, Anderson...
It's like opposite, because their eyes are very wide.
You could be played by Gary Busey, or also Michael Biehn. Philip Seymour Hoffman, had he been alive. Macaulay Culkin could play you now.
What?
These are age appropriate.
No.
Almost. Paul Giamatti, Michael Shannon also mentioned, and Mike Carano, if I was to make a real stretch and say I want to give this guy a... coach him up on acting.
All right, this thing. What is that thing?
I actually have no idea who or what that is.
What? He's been around for years.
I know. I recognize, but I could not tell you that character's name.
Because I can see him playing you.
The little tiny one on the bottom.
I've been watching the show recently, so I know him from that, but I've seen him pop up, yeah. All
right.
Okay. In movies.
And you think that's the one that should play me?
Well, I mean, one of many. I mean, I don't know if he'd make a callback. I don't know if we'd have him back for, you know, second auditions, but...
You guys, this has been probably our worst episode, and I appreciate you indulging us with our silliness.
How dare you? We did some good flick fashions off
that's
the top.
That's true, actually. That is actually true.
We still have to gamble.
We still have to gamble.
How are we going to gamble?
We'll pay it off in 2 weeks.
3 weeks.
All right.
Yeah. What did we do last week?
Last week, you guys gambled on Steve Jobs. At the time, the Rotten Tomato score was 94%. Anderson bid 84, and Brian 86. Currently,
I feel that's come down.
The Rotten Tomato score has come down, and it landed right on 86, making Brian the winner.
So I get to assign both of you a movie. Boom. Wow. I don't know. What's the thing now?
Hey, recall, man. I'm going to be exposed. I can't believe you won again. What's happening here?
You know what I want to do? I want to see what movies are playing on your flight.
No, you can't do that.
That would make it easy on you. Mm-hmm. That would make it super easy.
How are you going to do that? You're going to hack them?
No, they published the movies.
You want me to text you?
What? Give me your flight number.
No, I'm not going to do that.
What airline are you flying, seriously?
I'm not going to do that.
Well, tell me airline you're flying and I can look up the movies.
Well, I'll text you the goddamn movies, all right? How about that?
Now we've got to pay off for the listeners.
Mm-hmm. How do we do this? How do we do this? We're not going to be able to pay off for 3 weeks anyways. Brian will assign me something good. I'll come back. It's not that big a deal.
No, I got a movie for you.
Are you angry now because of all of my casting decisions?
I got a movie.
What are you doing here? What's going on? Huh? Hit me, Brian. Sitting here.
Bridge of Spies. Hogan.
You're not really going to do that.
It's a big movie written by the Coen brothers.
I gotta be honest with you. I don't know if I'm going to be able to see it.
Why?
Because I don't know how readily available it's going to be overseas. Well, and we're recording the day I get back or the day after I get back. Yeah, it's going
to
be tough.
It'll really show your commitment to the show, though.
I did it today. I'm going to that horrible theater and getting yelled at by an old woman. Bridge of fucking Spies, Brian, it is. Bridge of Spies, fine. Can't wait to win. Can't wait to win.
It's been a while.
Well, I'm just going to have to keep it in my car, but I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to win, and you will watch children eat shit.
Right.
Enjoy.
Fair enough.
Enjoy. And I'm gonna spot check to make sure that you watch it all, too.
What does that mean?
Because I'm going to look for some little nuances, and I'm going to ask if you're familiar with them. But Solo, coming your way.
I've carried out every assignment so far.
I might even wait until like Chris. Might even cheat so that I could win like Christmas so you could watch it Christmas week. Watch the children eat the shit on Christmas week. That's what you get, Brian. I can't even ban movies anymore on this goddamn program. I can't even open my fat mouth because you're going to... Bridge of fucking Spies.
Logan.
All right, let's get done with this.
All right.
This has not been a good week for your image.
Well, if you want to assign him Solo, you're going to have to correctly guess the Rotten Tomato score for Goosebumps.
Goosebumps. Oh, I got to assign Logan a movie, too. All right, we'll figure that out.
I mean, my image is just fine, Brian. What are you talking about?
You've been very, very mean this episode.
Would you stop it? You're doing all you can to make it look like you're the good one again.
I don't have to do much.
Oh. You're such a dick. See, this is just how evil and conniving Brian really is. How weaselly. He's like, hey, it's an opportunity because I know Anderson's going to be mean, and I can come off looking like the good guy.
You know what? It'd be impressive if I put them a forethought into it.
Oh, you absolutely did.
If I put them a forethought,
you absolutely did.
Impressive.
Mm-hmm. And I knew you were going to, too.
It would take a very, very, very smart man to think of that.
I thought you might come out with one really hard one, like Mike Myers' Fat Bastard. I was afraid of that.
It would take a really smart man to think of that.
God damn your smugliness.
Wait, what's the movie?
Goosebumps.
Goosebumps. What's your number, Anderson? Don't tell me. Goosebumps.
Brian, this is not fun for anyone, all right? I'm going to go back to Yahtzee here in a second just to save the show.
Think of a number.
I'm going to go back to... I'm playing.
Okay, what's your number? What's your number? 09? 90!
Yes.
Shit, I have 66.
Mm-hmm. Well, currently, the week before it's released...
90% movie?
I've read it, articles.
Oh, you fucking cheater.
Mm-hmm. That's not cheating.
I'll let it read. Recon. Mm-hmm. All right,
with,
Logan, what's
with 33 reviews, the Rotten Tomato score for Goosebumps is 78%.
Shit.
It's closer fucking to your score than...
Misleading articles.
No, it's exactly between. It's exactly 12 points between. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I have a little lesson. Oh, what are we doing next?
Down.
What are we doing next
down.
Week?
It always goes down.
We doing listener question next week
no,
or the week after?
No, next week is the streaming episode. All right.
Coming up on listener question, I got a little lesson about Rotten Tomatoes and how not to trust those goddamn scores. Because I got burned, Brian.
Burned.
I got burned. Hey, ready for this?
What's that?
Little Yahtzee. Yeah.
Hey, do you really not want to see? If you can't see Bridge of Spies, I will save that because I'll sign it to you some other time. But
I might just owe you a movie. I might.
No, but I'd rather you
I
see a
movie.
I
almost have to owe you one today because I have so much stuff
I'd
going
rather
on.
You see one that you can stream. If you're because you're leaving Thursday, right?
I'm leaving Friday.
And the movie comes out Friday. And you're gonna okay, so oh. You know, forget about Bridge of Spies.
Are you sure?
Well, because
are
it's
you,
not gonna,
because of the children and shit. Are
no,
you worried?
I'm sure I'm
are you afraid,
it.
Brian?
I'm sure I'm gonna see that at some point. But if you're not gonna be able to see the movie, then it's gonna be impractical. So I will table Bridge of Spies, but I want you both to see, I don't think you saw this, Logan, a documentary on Netflix. I enjoyed it. It's about another misunderstood genius. It's called, Game Over.
Are you not going to do it? I think you're going to do
Atari
it.
Atari Game Over. Atari.
I already saw it.
You did?
Oh, why am I so stupid? Huh. Why am I such a dumb person?
Oh, you already
oh, wait,
saw
no,
it.
Oh, wait, no. I saw Pinball, a Special One Lit. I saw Special One Lit.
You already saw it.
I saw Special One Lit. Totally different movie. That's about pinballs. Yeah, Atari.
Well, if you already
Game
saw
Over,
it.
Huh?
I got to delete that from my list.
This is about...
Goodbye.
Interesting. I look forward to watching it. Landfills and whatnot? Yes.
Logan.
It sounds very good.
Have you seen either one of these movies that I have to assign Anderson at some point? Sucker Punch?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen that one.
Logan?
I haven't seen Atari either.
You're not seeing Atari. Have you seen Not Another Teen Movie?
Yes, I have seen that. Oh. Which I think you did assign that to Anderson then.
I don't think I did. Anderson, Not Another Teen Movie? I shot in Sugar and Spice.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was just looking at the gambling results online earlier and said you assigned
okay,
it to
okay, I will look that up. You must see Sucker Punch, both of you.
That was like celebration music coming off my phone.
Yay,
I don't pay 99 cents to have the ads removed, so I just heard the ad from my Yahtzee. Yay, Sucker Punch, Sucker Punch. A movie that Brian openly admits is not good, but there's a couple moments here and there. Yeah. The fact that...
There is
that,
some good stuff.
That your viewing pleasure is that limited that you're having me watch movies that are like mediocre.
No.
Not for punishment. No. It's just
you know what I am?
Right in the middle of the road, right?
Nope.
The worst.
Nope. I'm a movie watching centrifuge. I can spin the bad stuff out and keep the way I can extract the goodness.
Rob Reiner.
He's a little too smug.
He says it in a smug voice. All right, let's get at it. Let's go.
Thank you, guys. Quick thanks to who's our Thomas S. Do we have Thomas S.'s fan art this week? He did the fan art. Check it out, AndersonBryan.com. Also, music from Marius Paxcow, Devin Cuddy, Elephant Rifle, Vega Nova, Take Today, and Colin Obremski. Let me see this. That's why I don't understand
I hate that.
That
movie.
I don't understand that. Why? Oh, look at the magazine pictures. On the floor.
He actually has a paragraph he wrote about it, too. Let me read that really quick.
It's really gross.
I was inspired to do this artwork because Brian seems to care deeply for Anderson. He always invites him to go see movies with
really
him, and Anderson always declines.
This is really appropriate.
Poor Brian. I hope this artwork I made brings you guys a laugh or two, as you guys bring me many on a weekly basis. Keep it up, and I'll keep supporting the show through Amazon and other sponsors.
Thanks.
You know what? It needed the story. Thank you very much, Thomas.
What was his name?
Thomas S.
How'd you come up with that name?
It's right here on my sheet.
But obviously that's you because you're doing more to make it look like I'm the jerk in the situation and
how
planting
the listener
art.
Oh, you're saying that I'm the one who made
why
that?
Thomas S?
I don't know. I guess it's...
Is there a riddle in there? Is there something I should read into that?
Thomas S, not a guy named Tom. He's actually a guy named Brian. That's a little too long, I guess.
Thank you, Thomas S, for putting that image, making me conjure an image that I don't know if I'll be able to get rid of anytime soon. You beating off to me.
Well, you and Logan. Mm-hmm.
And when you, close that magazine, according to that picture,
kissing,
Logan and I's face is smashed together.
The Film Vault on Facebook and Twitter, AndersonCowan.com, where you go for movie reviews. And until then.
And I can tell you, this week's After Disaster is going to be a good one.
Why?
I got high by a mistake, Brian. Didn't know.
Before the recording?
I thought I was dying. earlier
like during
week.
The episode?
No, during this week. I gotta explain. Also, I saw some amazing performances at the old Festival Supreme and some amazing douche fucks that were there. I can't wait to tell those stories. But this week's After Dash is going to be a good one. We do it for Van Gogh.